of 43b3, where it says, Neschalfala, you placed a wallet containing Maisashini coins. Later you found a different wallet containing the same coins, the same number of coins anyway. And the question is, what's the rule with that? So that's the question, Neschalfala. So Mem Dalar Amar Aleph, it says, Taman Taninon. We learned over there in Masechta Beitzah, Zimin Shkoyim Matzos Lavonim. If you prepared, you have black birds and white birds, or black pigeons and white pigeons. And you went ahead and you prepared black birds, and then you found, instead of the black birds, you found the white birds. So the rule is, you can't take them. You have to assume they're from some other place, even though they were like you had the black birds on the right, white birds on the left.
Isn't this a case of muksa?
Yes, we're talking about muksa. Yeah, so because you didn't, right? So levonim and matzah shchayim, you found them switched. Shnayim and matzah shleisha, you set aside two birds, you found three birds. Asurim. All these cases, it's muksa. So without going further, that's all we need really for our purposes. So this should be just like a case of Zimein Shchayrim Umatz Levonim. You put aside a white wallet and you found a black wallet or vice versa. So the wallet has changed, so you assume it's from some other place. Okay? Shloisha Umatz Shnayim Mutarn. If you set aside three birds and you found two birds, then it's Mutar because we assume that the one bird just flew away. Okay? So that's sorry, over here in English. So too, when one places a wallet containing Maaser Sheni coins in a box and finds a different wallet containing coins in the box, one need not assume that these are Maaser Sheni coins from the original wallet. Rather, we say they're unsanctified coins. It's obvious. Okay. So we cited the Mishnah for the above inquiries, and now the Gemara looks at the latter ruling, which says two doves after three, it's mutter. Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha b'shem Rabbi Yasa, the Rebbe, this follows Rebbe's shita, the Tani, Masayim Matzah Mona. You put down 200 dinarim of Maaser Sheni, and you later you found 100. Hamona Nutal, you assume that the 100 dinarim were removed, and the other 100 were from the original amount. The Rebbe, this sounds familiar, right? Because that's exactly what our Mishnah says, right?
Yeah, three birds and
No. I'm talking about the Maaser Sheni case. We just had that. That's mamash what it says in our Mishnah, I think. I think if you go back, let's just go back to the Mishnah real quick. On Mem Gimel, it says, where is it? Yeah, the last line of the Mishnah. Person says to his son, Masayim, that there's 200 over there, Umatzamona, when he went over there, he found 100. It says, it's all Meiser. It's the last halach of the Mishnah. That's exactly what Rabbi's saying over here, the same thing. Right? Masayim, you left 200, and then later you find 100. Hamonamun is also the 100 was taken, the rest is assumed to be the same original. Dirai Rabbi. No, all the original ones were removed. These are non-sanctified. So, the last case of the aforesighted Mishnah, where one designated three doves and found only two, is just like the case of this Mishnah. That's what you just said, right? So, it follows, just as Rabbi maintains concerning my Shane coins, that the found coins that shouldn't be the original coins were left. So, to concerning the designated, okay, on the other hand, whatever. Okay, so basically the Gemara is saying that it only comes out like Rebbe. Chaz of Yomar. So now he turns around. In other words, that Mishnah Beitzah seems to only come out like Rebbe, not like the Chachamim, right? So now the Gemara says, Chaz of Yomar, the Bina Kol, he really, what? After further consideration, we can say that it can even come out like the Chachamim. Why? Shan Yohi Beguzolin Shadakon Lefrayach. Young birds are different, right? Because they fly away, so since they fly away, so even the Chacham would agree that one of the birds, of the three birds, flew away. That's a perfectly normal thing to assume. And therefore, the remaining two are from the two that you were designated. So there, the Chacham could agree. Where do they argue? They argue where you put money down. Money doesn't fly away. It flies out of my pocket, but it doesn't fly away by itself, right? So that's where they say if it's gone, then if someone came to take it, they probably take all the money. When you see money on the table,
it's a totally new budget.
When you take money from the table, you take the whole thing. No one's leaving money behind on the table. Okay, that sounds tough, but it should be tough. Okay, that's the Gemara. Hotani, Rav. Now the Gemara asks a simple question. Rav Chalafta and Shaul said he had dover gazon, he had dover beitzim, but the Braisa says that the same rule we said about the three birds and one is gone is true even by eggs. If I set aside three eggs and now there's only two there, then I assume those are the two that I designated, right? So eggs don't fly. So if the Braisa is talking, right, so it must be Havi the Rebbe here. So obviously that chiluk that he tried to make is not hold water.
Okay. Birds usually travel in a pack, not pigeons. You know, so if three fly away, one flies away, the other two go, and then two more come back and replace it.
Okay.
Where eggs can't do that.
Right. That's right. Okay. Yeah, okay. Next, having established the aforesaid Mishnah follows Rebbe, now the question is the authorship of our Mishnah, which similarly seems to reflect the opinion of Rebbe. That's what I just pointed out, right? Tamanu niyachu matzah. Over there on the Bryce of the person placed the 200 dinar was the same person who found the 100. It is only in that case that the sages maintain all the original money is assumed to have been removed. Bram Hocha, Aviv Hiniach, Aviv Matzah? Did his father leave it there and his father come back and find less than he originally left? And his father died. That's not the case. His father left it there and then his father died and then his son goes and finds it, right? As the Mishnah explicitly states, the father placed 200, the son found 100. The sages might agree in that case. I mean, that's what the Gemara was trying to say here. I was trying to say, maybe the sages would agree in the case where the son is coming versus the father. So it's different than if you were the original person, right? Even the sages will agree that only the 100 were removed and the remaining 100 is from the original Maaser Sheni coins. Why? What's the story behind that? It doesn't say, let me see over here. On the next page, on 44A3, in the middle of the note, it says over here, according to the conclusion, the sages accept Rebbe's reasoning that probability of the owner himself removing some of them and leaving the rest must be taken into account. So in the Mishnah's case, the father placed 200, the son found 100. The sages will agree the remaining 100 are assumed to be Maaser Sheni. Although the father made no mention of having removed part of the coins, it's quite possible that had he been asked, he might have been reminded that he had done so. In other words, what we're saying is the father made a mistake when he told his son that there was 200. Yes, you originally put 200, but then subsequently you went back there and picked up 100 because you needed for spending money for whatever reason, right? So that's the svar over here, that it's possible. When you're dealing with two people, it's different than when you're dealing with a single individual. Okay, that's what he says. However, in the Bryce's case, the same person who placed the 200 subsequently finds the 100, has no recollection of having removed part of it. So then already, the entire collection must have been removed by somebody else. Okay, so that's the idea here. Okay. Rabun bar Kohen, Amar Kumi Rabbi Yosem, Shem Rabbi Kohen, Rabbi Rabbi Rabba, Bar Zato, and Maaser Sheni, Kadot, the Rebbe. So when he was asked to paskin a halacha, so he paskin in accordance with the opinion of Rebbe. Right? The case that came before Rabba, it says in footnote 19, involved one who himself found fewer coins than he had previously placed. Right, so in that case, he paskin like Rebbe that you can assume that the rest are Maaser Sheni. Another brisa, Harei Shahim Mitzta'er Er Al Ma'aser Shel Rebbe. Someone was troubled regarding the whereabouts of Maaser Sheni funds that his father left him. His father left the Maaser Sheni funds, and all he's doing is walking around and he's obsessing. He's got OCD. He's obsessing about what did my father do with those Maaser Sheni funds. I have to find those Maaser Sheni funds. And it's all he's thinking about. As Nira lo b'chalom, then guess what? He has a dream. His father appears to him in a dream. Kach v'kachem, this is the amount of funds that there are. B'mokom ploinihem, and he tells them where they're located. All the details. Now, what's the story? Let's suppose he goes over to the place, and Itaka finds the funds exactly where he dreamed that they would be. What's the rule? Does he have to assume they're Maaser Sheni? Also, the case came in front of the rabbis, and what they say? That dreams don't mean anything. Don't add up to a hill of beans, like they used to say, right?
Meaning there's some truth.
Okay, that's your version. This version,
that's the version of the Gemara Nedarim.
This version right here is lo malam lo meridin, means there's nothing. It has no value. Okay, we're gonna get to you in a second. Rabbi Yonah asked, "Mitzar v'chomei v'at omer hachem." The son was troubled, and he subsequently saw the dream. And you say it's irrelevant. What's wrong with you? Where's your compassion? Where's your don't you see there's a connection between one and the other, right? 25. The fact that the vision appeared after he had been worrying, it seems to indicate that his prayers were answered, right? That's what we always are wondering. Did you answer my prayers? You know, like show me a sign, and you know everybody. I saw this and I knew that was the sign. You know, okay, maybe it was a sign, maybe not. Here we see that the Gemara is actually having a shakalataya about that, right? Rabbi Yonah is upset about this. The Gemara says, "Om Rabbi Yosi, lo mistarva d'lo behud lo mistarva v'chomei." On the contrary, it's logical to rely on a dream only where the son was not troubled about the money. Baram, hocha b'mad davar inoshi have davar nash have hu chalim. Whatever a person thinks about, that's what you dream about. So if you're worried about something and you're thinking about it constantly, fashteitzach, you're going to dream about it. On the contrary, if you wouldn't have been dreaming about it, then it would have had more validity than otherwise, right? It's like you pre-programmed yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times, I say Kriya Shalamita, right? I say Kriya Shalamita every night. And a lot of times at night, I'll have a dream where I'm saying Kriya Shema. Why am I dreaming? Because that's what I went to bed with. I went to bed, so I dreamt about Kriya Shema. But, you know, I don't know if you guys have that experience or not. Whatever. But if I'm dreaming about the stock market, you know, and I drink, this stock is going to win. That's because that day I was day trading, you know. And it's like, Amar Abavin, Mando Avad Yohas Avad Kerab Yaisi. So if you want to do what's proper, you'll act according to the viewer of Yaisi, right? That he'll treat a dream purporting to be a message from heaven seriously when it does not reflect his waking thoughts. He will disregard it when it does. Okay, so what he's suggesting that you should follow this advice of Yaisi. If you're thinking about something all day and you dream about it, forget about it. If you aren't dreaming about something and all of a sudden a dream appears, maybe there's something to think about. Some explain that Yerushalmi doesn't mean you're obligated to treat Rabbi Yossi's kind of dream seriously. Rather, it's a midas hasidus. So this is a question. Well, you have to think about it. Don't think about it. Okay.
So the whole back and forth is whether or not the money that he found is Maaser Sheni.
That's correct. Yeah, that's the original. So that's right. The original. So his son, so we have two approaches here. Either lo malam lo meridin.
Right.
And therefore.
And the fact that he found it in the place that he saw it in the dream doesn't mean anything.
And therefore it's mutter, which is what the rabbis paskin.
Right.
Or you have the BIC's BIC's approach is also the same thing. Right. It was who was the one that was concerned? Rabbi Yonah. Rabbi Yonah felt that the probability was more likely that it was really Kaddish since it ended up. But Rabbi BIC said no. You know, he was thinking about it. Okay, now we're going to have a page of dream stuff. So we're going to go real fast and get through this by 9 o'clock. These are people who had dreams and they're coming for interpretations. We're on Mem Dalet Amud Beis, for those who are not following. On Malay, so the person said to him, Chamis v'chamim mit Marli. I saw in a dream that I was being told, Ezel l'kaputkiya, g'rubakutkiya, v'at mashkach midloa d'avuch. And you'll find your father's lost possessions on Malay. So Rabbi Yossi said to him, again, Rabbi Yossi Makalata, Ozal v'idhu gavad l'kaputkiya min yoymeh, did your father ever go to b'kaputkiya in his lifetime? On Malay, loy, no, he never went. On Malay, so now he says, I have the interpretation. Ezel m'nei asar shayroyon go b'aysa, go count 10 beams. In your house, at Mashuk Lavuch, and you'll find your father's possessions hidden inside the 10th beam. Kapa de Kuraya, you can assume the word Kaputkiya is the 10th beam. Next case. Chad Bar Nosh, also Gabi Rabbi Yosef Chalafta Amalei. Chomis Mechami Lavush Chan Kalil Desayas. I saw I was adorned with a crown of olive branches. Amalei Da'at Mesroim Amalei means you're going to be elevated to a respectable position. And it'll be like a crown. Basi Yom Nosh Lachad Churon. After some time, another person came to him. On Malay, he told him a similar dream. I saw I was adorned with a crown of olive branches. On Malay, Rabbi Yossi said to him, Da'an Milki, you're going to be beaten. On Malay, what's going on over here? Lahu gavar madat mesroimimah. The other guy came, you told him he's going to be elevated. He had the same dream I had, and you gave him a good interpretation. And v'li amar ta'at milki, and me, you tell me that I'm going to get hit, smitten? That's not fair. What did I do? Did I not pay the money that you were asking, right? On Malay, so Rabbi Yossi said, no. Hahu dahava benitzaya v'at b'chavtaya. It depends. If you're in the blossoming seasons, that you're having this dream about the olives. So the olives are blossoming, so therefore it's a good sign. But you're having a dream at a time where they're beating the trees to get the olives to fall down. So this is not such a good time. So it depends what time of year you're having this dream. So you can have the same dream, and it can have two different interpretations based on the time of year. It's fascinating. Chad bar Nosh, also l'gavi Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yaisi, and Omalei, he says the following, Chamis v'chamid mashkid zesu mashach. This is not so gishmak, and irrigating an olive tree with oil. Omalei, tepach rukadau gavra, this guy should be suffer. Le'imei hu chacham, he had relations with his mother. Oh. Yeah, it's kind of you can look at footnote 8 if you want to see the pshat. Chad bar Nosh also l'kamri b'shmo b'beisi amalei chamis v'chamai einai nosh kol chaverta. I saw in my dream that one eye kissed the other eye. Amalei tevach v'darhu gavra, again a curse. L'chasehu chacham, he had relations with his sister, because one eye kissing the other eye means that they're like a pair. Chad bar Nosh also l'kamri b'shmo b'beisi amalei chamis v'chamai yisli tlosa einin. I had a dream I had three eyes. I don't know if you ever saw that. There was once a twilight zone.
Why'd they even bother to do this? I thought they said, you know, in Marit, and now we're saying these people are taking this seriously.
Oh, very good. Yeah, okay. Good question. Do you remember the twilight zone?
Sure. Yeah.
And in the one, the guy takes out, you know, he's in front of a bar, and he takes out of a pack of cigarettes, and he has three hands. And the guy behind the bar, he's wearing, you know, his service hat, you know, those service hats. And he lifts up the service hat, and on his forehead there's a third eye. Yeah, anyway, that was a famous one. Anyway, so here he had a dream that he had three eyes. On Malay, Tanur Natovit. You manufacture ovens. Tartein enoch ve'ini de tanura. So you have your two eyes and the eye of the oven. What's the eye of the oven? The eye of the oven is at the round opening at the top of the oven. It looks like a little eye at the top of the oven. So you're thinking about your eyes and the eye of that which you work with all day. Okay. In the bottom of footnote 11, it says that the work Pisron Chalomos by Reb Shmuel Almeli states that the part of the wisdom required of an expert interpreter is to recognize which components of a dream are due to a person's daytime thoughts or diet, and separate those components out as meaningless chaff. So basically, he's saying that there is, like you're saying, that there's dvarim betalim, and then there's some aspects of it that have meaning, whatever. I'm Malay. I have 4 ears. I'm Malay. Malayat. You fill barrels with wine. Tate unnach, tate unnach de garba. So you have your 2 ears, and you have the 2 ears of the, which are the handles of the barrel. Fifth case. I saw people running away from me. I'm Malay. Dat maisi izaya. You deliver bundles of thistles. Right, like thorns, right? Everybody's running away from you, so they shouldn't get bruised. I saw in my dream a notebook with 12 wooden plates, right? In the old days, they had a wooden plate they would have write notes on. Either they would have a wax over the a piece of wood, and they would engrave in the wax, or they would write on the plate itself, whatever it was. He had 12 plates. So I thought he was going to say something about the 12 shvatim, but it doesn't say that here. Amalei istva dahu gavra isbe treyasar marka. And this person's saddlecloth has 12 patches. Seventh case. I swallowed a star. I don't know how he swallowed a cow. So I don't know how he swallowed a star, right? A Malay, taper Dahu Gavra, Yehudoi Katal. You must have killed a Jewish person. Right? If you're swallowing a star, you must have killed a Jew, because it says that Jews are called or compared to a star, like it says in the Pasach, Dorach Koichav Miyakov, right? Mm-hmm. A star came forth from Jacob. So you swallowed a star means you killed a person.
From this you see that a lot of the people who came to them were Goyim. These dreams are not all by Jews.
You think so?
Well, he killed a Jew. Means you're not a Jew.
No, Davka. How do you see that? A Jew could kill a Jew. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I mean, you're going bust a rove. But I just find it funny that a non-Jewish person would go to Yishmael Reb Yossi.
Well, maybe he has a reputation.
He's a reputation.
He's, a dream
interpreter. Yeah, he's a dream interpreter. Okay, could be. He saw that the vineyard was growing lettuce. Your wine will turn to vinegar, and then what are you going to do? You're going to take lettuce. You're going to take lettuce. You're going to dip it in the vinegar. That's going to be like a little coleslaw, a little sauerkraut, whatever you want to call it. That's what you're going to have, okay? So if you have a dream that you're eating sauerkraut on a hot dog, it means that your wine's going to go sour, okay? Chad banash asal gamri b'shmo b'b'yaisi amalei chamis b'chamayit mit marli ochin. They were telling me as follows. Zra etzba'asach nechas. Extend your finger lower. All right? Amalei, now we're on memhei. Avli agrai v'ano amalach. Pay my fee. Again, here's a fee here, right? Rishmon says, pay me the number, the dollar amount that I have on my website here, and I'll tell you the interpretation. He refused to pay, so he didn't tell him the interpretation. No fee, no interpretation.
I'm a same thing in brachas.
Very similar. A Malay, so a while later, this person again came in front of Rabbi Shmuel. Chamas becoming mit Marli Hochen, to have a nofach bepumach. A swelling will appear in your mouth. If you pay me, I'll tell you what it means. Amalei. Anyway, he refused. Same thing. Amalei. He came a third time. Now they're telling me to raise my finger. Before they told me to put my finger down. Then I had a dream that I had a sore in my mouth. Then they told me to raise my finger up. Will you tell me already what these dreams mean? Amalei, so he says, Lo amris lo chavli agrei v'ano amalach. Didn't I tell you to pay me? Now it's too late, too late. Kante in malach hochen, when they told you to put your finger lower, that meant nechas dilfo b'chitoch, that rainwater was dropping on your wheat. And therefore, you have to be careful to dry it out. Kan in malachachin, a swelling will appear in your mouth. In napchon, the wheat began to swell. Kan in malach tzomch, raise your finger. When they said the third one, raise your finger, tzomchin, the wheat has begun to sprout, and it became ruined entirely. So that was
paid me, I would have.
If you would have paid me originally, I would. You could have dried out the wheat, and we wouldn't have lost all your whole thing. All right, Khan, this is where Mitzvah Hashem, Menachem will start tomorrow and start you with a new parrot. It's like a stark. Everybody should have sweet dreams.
It sounds like the guy's got a business. I mean, pay me and I'll tell you.